Now, before us this evening, as we continue our series on looking at the theophanies, the pre-incarnate appearances as a man of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Just even though each one that we've looked at is equally wonderful, equally glorious, equally magnificent, and so full of encouragement, just looking at these opening two verses, for we will only look at these opening two verses of this incident tonight, but what encouragement there is here. Oh, what encouragement for the child of God. Oh, what encouragement for the child of God in all the battles that we go through spiritually. Here before us this evening is a wonderful instance which indeed shows us our Saviour, who is our indeed advocate. He is the one, our High Priest, who pleads for us, pleads our cause all the time, who speaks up on our behalf, intercedes for us continually. And there is none who can oppose us, because he is beside us and before us and behind us. I've been told the message this evening, and I trust that these words will sink deep as a title to your great encouragement tonight. The advocate who is greater than the accuser. Oh, the advocate who is greater than the accuser. There is indeed an accuser of our souls. There is indeed one who grieves us so often. Yes, our sin itself grieves us, but there is an accuser who, when we fall, when we fail, when we sin, who continually stands by to accuse us. But he has no power. He has no power over our advocate. None whatsoever. Before us tonight, we observe the advocate and the accuser, your best friend and your worst enemy. Two completely opposites. It's almost as if, like on one of those films, animated films, you have one speaking on one shoulder and one speaking on the other. And you know not which way to turn sometimes. It is the lot of every child of God, surely, to be grieved by our sins so often. And to be brought so low that we are tempted that things are not well with our soul. We could be tempted to think that. If we listen to the voice of our enemy. What comes to mind here is the apostle Simon Peter, who must have thought that was the end after he denied the Lord three times. That was it. That was the end. That was the end. I've done the worst thing possible. I've denied my Lord and Saviour. And yet he's brought to learn the meaning of those words a little later after the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus, when, as promised, he met with Peter by the banks of Lake Galilee. He said he would meet him. And he said to him before that Satan had desired him to sift him. Only to sift. Satan can only sift the child of God. He cannot destroy. Cannot destroy. And yet he is indeed an enemy who does seek to destroy. Even though he cannot. He is a defeated foe. but an angry, defeated foe who rages against the child of God. See here tonight in these wonderful words. And then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Now we know that the angel of the Lord, when we see capital letters, the angel of the Lord is indeed the Son of God, the messenger of the Lord. He is the messenger. Yes, there are angelic beings who are messengers of God, but he is the messenger. He's the messenger. He is God himself. He is the one who God has spoken by in these last days, for whom he made the worlds, who being the express image of his person, upholds all things by his own power. He's the one who sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, because he indeed has finished the work he came to do. He has purged our sins. And we see him prefigured here, and indeed a pre-incarnate appearance of him here. As Joshua stands before the angel of the Lord. What does this standing before the angel of the Lord mean? Well, time wouldn't allow for us to go into such great detail tonight. But it shows us that the child of God comes through the Son of God, through the mediator, and has full access to God. That's almost too good to be true, isn't it? Full access to the Almighty. Full access, complete access to God Almighty. For all who are in Christ Jesus and have received the call of his grace, in him there is the comfort of knowing yourself at peace with God. And that you can come before God and you can worship God freely. And you can have free access to come before God, to freely worship him, and to freely serve the Almighty. We do indeed come and serve with hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience, which we will look at in greater detail next time, God willing. But see what Zechariah was shown of the Lord here in the Word. Joshua, the high priest, who is in himself a type and figure of Christ. But that's not for tonight. But he points to all who are in Christ Jesus. He was standing before the angel of the Lord. He stood in the very presence of God through the messenger of grace. There was a hymn that went like that, wasn't it? Something like that, a chorus or something. I stand before the presence of the Lord of hosts. Something like that, isn't it? I stand in the presence of the Lord God of hosts in Christ Jesus. I stand in his presence. He stood in the very presence of his Saviour, even our Saviour. And this is indeed what all God's elect can do as one royal priesthood. It's one of the great truths of the gospel that was recovered by the mainline church at the Reformation, isn't it? The priesthood of all believers. Of all believers. Each one. In that context, each one here tonight, a priest unto God. We come before God through the high priest, Jesus Christ. And we're all priests to God because we have that access to God. Because he's opened up by that new and living way, by his own body. And we're told we are a priesthood that can indeed offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Acceptable to God. Here was Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Standing before the angel of the Lord. He comes through the Saviour. There is only one way to come to God, and that's through the Saviour. And as he comes through the Saviour, his worship, his service, his sacrifice is acceptable in Jesus. And this is most important here at the outset as we see what comes next. The only voice uttering against, protesting against Joshua the high priest being permitted to stand before the angel of the Lord does not come from the Lord himself. But it comes from the accuser. On the contrary, the Lord Jesus Christ says to his people, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. The one coming unto me, I will in no wise cast out." What wonderful gospel truth we have here. We are never cast out. When we come before our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth, never. He will never cast us aside. But we do see, secondly here, we observe the enemy of your soul. There is an enemy of your soul. Satan, the devil, the wicked one, the deceiver. The father of lies. There's no truth in him. He's been a liar and a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth in him. His way of approaching God's people has always been from the beginning with lies. With lies. That's how our father Adam fell. Through lies. Through lies. We see him, Satan, here particularly, as he so often is. As he so often appears with God's redeemed, the accuser. The accuser. Now it must be said here from the outset that Satan does not accuse the unbeliever. He does not accuse the unbeliever. For what need does he have to accuse the unbeliever? The unbeliever is oblivious to his sin. The unbeliever still hates God. The unbeliever is still in bondage to sin and is still at his behest. He is no threat. He is no enemy to the evil one. But he is the accuser, particularly of the child of God. Very little is said about this in this days of tomfoolery religion, where people claim everything's going to be alright, everything in the garden's going to be okay. And they don't tell people the reality of the situation of being a child of God. It will be tough. It will be tough. It's a tough road. You're going to stumble. And you're going to come to points in that road, in that narrow road, where you know yourself to be grieved and attacked. And so we see here the child of God being accused by the evil one. We read, he is here standing at his right hand. The Authorized Version says to resist him. Though the New King James is perhaps a better translation here. To oppose. To oppose. Opposition comes from many guises. Opposition comes from ourselves at times. Opposition comes from the world. And opposition comes from Satan himself. Sometimes he leaves us to ourselves. But when we be walking in the will of the Lord, when we be walking before God, when we be seeking to walk with God, as Joshua the high priest here, then his venom comes. Then his hatred comes, railing against us, accusing us. For indeed we know if we had no one to stand for our cause, we know there is much to accuse us with. We know ourselves. We know our sin. We know our failure. But we remind ourselves, this one standing at the right hand of Joshua, this one who stands to oppose you, he does not know all things. He does not know all things. Let's not give him too much credit. But nonetheless, he is an awesome foe. He is a most powerful foe, over which we have no power. We read he is here standing at the right hand to resist him. Resist here has the meaning of being the adversary, coming to attack and to accuse. He's got one purpose, to come to inflict damage, to inflict injury upon the soul of the child of God. Even though you are saved, do you not find yourself, oh so often, under attack from many thoughts within you, from many thoughts that you wish did not come across your mind, many thoughts which cause you to even doubt your salvation? When you consider the sin which Hebrews 12 says so easily ensnares us. And that is what the enemy of your soul, the accuser, uses. That's what he uses to turn against us. And this is the one who stands by to oppose your faith. And of course, it must be said also that although we see here Satan standing at the right hand of Joshua the high priest, he will come through many guises. He will come through many guises. Sometimes he won't be so blatant. Sometimes he will appear as an angel of light with his lies. Sometimes he will use people known to us. He doesn't always attack us by our thoughts, but he will come by some known to us who will accuse us or suggest this is right and this is wrong. Sometimes it can be well-meaning things that he uses. Remember the Lord Jesus when he told the disciples that he indeed must suffer many things of the chief priests and the Pharisees, and he must be put to death, and on the third day must rise again. And Peter, out of, humanly speaking, out of a good motive, says, God forbid it should be so. What does the Lord say? He doesn't say to Peter. He sees beyond. He sees the one who's deceived him into thinking such things. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. He is indeed a cunning, a deceitful, a wicked foe who stands to oppose And this is why the Apostle Peter tells us these words in 1 Peter 5 of how we are to beware. We truly are to beware lest we fall. Beware lest we be deceived. 1 Peter 5. I'm reading from verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Yes, we would even be tempted to think, well, why is it happening to me? Why only me? The same enemy of your soul is the enemy of every believer. Of every believer. Not everyone would be so honest as to say, I have been tempted by my thoughts to doubt my salvation. Or I have been attacked in such a way by the devil. And I have listened to his lies in such a way. But everyone is under the same attack. Everyone. For the devil, you see, will suggest all manner of things. In such a cunning way. In a deceitful way, in order to take away your peace. To take away your peace. But he can't take it away. He can't take it away. He can damage it for a time. He can cause you to doubt it for a season. But he cannot take it away. To discourage you and to even tempt you to think that you can fall from grace by your sin. But as the Apostle Paul, in perhaps some of the greatest encouraging words in the New Testament, says in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am. This is the Apostle Paul, a regenerate man, born again. Away with this teaching that says that this is him in a pre-unregenerate state. He wouldn't be knowledgeable of his sin. He wouldn't be troubled by his sin if he was unregenerate. And anyway, the passage of Scripture doesn't teach that anyway. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He's talking about living in the flesh, you see. We're troubled on every side, living in this body of flesh. Not only the devil who attacks us and accuses us, we know that in our flesh dwells no good thing. There is the bias in our flesh to sin. But not in that which is born of God. Not our new nature. That's why we're troubled. That's why we're grieved. Because we hate sin. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. And the devil will come and seek to accuse, seek to oppose, seek to say, well, look at this one here. He's sinned. He cannot belong to the Lord. Surely that sin is too much for the Lord to cleanse you of now. When the Apostle John tells us, yes, we know not God, the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, oh, but he's faithful and just. He's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin and to indeed forgive us of all sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's promised it. The devil seeks to take that promise away. Paul here in Romans 7 speaks of his constant anguish and pain over his constant failure in the flesh. And then he looks to his only hope being in Christ. And it is so for us who are his. That's our only hope. That's our only hope. We walk by faith on the Son of God, and we know that living in this body of flesh, we shall indeed grieve. But we know that indeed he is with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Thirdly, we see here Joshua looked towards the angel of the Lord. He continued to look towards the angel of the Lord Jesus. And we too must continue. We can do no other. We must continue to do so. What does the apostle say in Colossians 2? As you receive Christ, therefore continue in him. The same way. How did you come to Christ? You came to Christ despairing of your sin, seeking forgiveness of your sin. You came to Christ with no plea but him. And you continue in Christ, looking to him as your only hope, your only stay. For he is our only plea, he is our only hope. But he is all sufficient for us. For see what the word of God instructs us to do when we know the enemy coming in like that proverbial flood and making accusation against us. Accusation against us upon accusation constantly. Look again at those words we just read in 1 Peter 5. And see, firstly and foremostly, you must first and only run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Stand by, look to, constantly look to the angel of the Lord, to the Lord Jesus alone. For we read in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him. Notice, do you notice the wonderful order of these words here? We have us casting our care, all our care upon him, because he cares for us. But in verse 8, we see the reason. Because we need him so much. We need him so much. And why do we need him so much? Because the enemy is there. The enemy is there. And he's roaming around. And he's right by us. And he's seeking to destroy us. And so we look to Jesus. And therefore, having leaned wholly and only upon the Son of God, who brings you to God, you then can resist. But it's not really you doing the resisting, you see. As verse 9 says, resist him steadfast in the faith. You can only be steadfast in the faith as the Lord establishes you. As the Lord establishes you. As you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not resist. We do not be so foolish as to think we can resist. Who can resist the devil? Who can stand against the evil one? There is only one who can stand against the evil one. And that is the altogether Holy One. Only one. We do not stand against him. We cannot resist him ourselves. But we do so in him who is our great high priest, the captain of our salvation. He is the commander of our souls, and he is the protector of our soul. Now we see, we can make no accusation against any spiritual forces. And this is where, sadly, people get mixed up in these things which they shouldn't get mixed up in. And then they have their proverbial fingers burned, but worse than that, they get all kinds of wicked things coming upon them because they do not know who they're mixing with, who they're dealing with. And even the believer who is born again of the Spirit of God, we are no match for the devil, and we are to not speak evil or rather speak against the evil forces of darkness. We are not to think that we can in any way rebuke the devil. That is so foolish. That is so foolish. And it is indeed at our peril we would do so. We're no match for him. We are no match for him. Jude 1:9 reminds us of this. It tells us, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation. Not a single one. I tell a lie. But one. And this is sufficient. But said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jehovah rebuke you. And it is believed that the archangel Michael is another name for the pre-incarnate Christ Jesus. Now, that's for another time to look at that. But nonetheless, God's people cannot in any way stand against Satan other than in and through Christ Jesus, who is our shield and our defender. John the Apostle says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He's the one who speaks peace now to us. He is the one who, by his sacrificial substitutionary death at the cross, has indeed borne all our sin, and indeed by bearing the wrath of God has become our mercy seat, who has covered our sin, and our sin is remembered no more. It is cast away, and God remembers it no more. As far as the east be from the west, so he has cast it from his sight. And this is our plea. This is our plea when the devil comes and seeks to destroy and seeks to accuse and says, you cannot be saved. You cannot belong to God. God does not accept you. Our plea is the Lord Jesus Christ, our propitiation, our mercy seat. And that is sufficient. For see, fourthly, it is the angel of the Lord here, the angel of the Lord, who speaks up now for Joshua. He speaks up for Joshua. Oh, how I love these words. How wonderful these words. And he says these words for you. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus, who is God, the Son of God, it was sufficient for him to say, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. You see, we do not realize how much power there is in that name. Oh, what power there is in that name. What a name. And Satan flees at that name. He has to. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. And he says that in all the circumstances that are coming against us, that trouble our soul, that accuse us, that indeed tempt us to think that we do not belong to the Lord, and or the Lord could not forgive our sin. In all circumstances, he says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. The Lord who has chosen his elect, his church, he stands up and he rebukes the evil one. He rebukes him and he sends him, if I can say it, he sends him away packing. He must flee. He must flee from Jesus. Do you remember those demons that possessed that man? They were legion. And rather than face that which they know is coming, the judgment which they know for certain is coming their way, they said, permit us to go into that herd of swine. And they indeed possessed the herd of swine and they were cast over the cliff. The devil is fearful of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he rebukes the devil here. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? This is one of mine. You see this Joshua here? You have no power over him. You see this Joshua here? You cannot accuse him. He belongs to me. He's one of mine. It's as the Lord tells us in Isaiah 43. I have redeemed you. You are mine. You're mine. And he's mine, he says to Satan here. It is the angel of the Lord who speaks up, yes. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And see from this statement, this clearly was God the Son speaking with great authority, with which he is, as he told those disciples when he gave them that great commission. That authority is his already. He has both authority in heaven and on earth. Among the armies of heaven. And there's none that can stay his hand, nor say, what doest thou? Satan, along with all the demons of hell, must flee at the name of Jesus. They must flee at the name which is above every name. As James 2:19 tells us, the devils also believe and tremble. Yes, this is one of mine. This is one of mine, says the Lord. And so then, as you run to the Saviour, as you run to the Lord Jesus, you find God's promise faithful, which says, Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Notice the order. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Stand before the angel of the Lord. Stand before the Lord Jesus. Flee to the Lord Jesus. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. God promises it so. But lastly, we see indeed the Lord Jesus, the advocate for the souls of his people, by those words, is this not a brand plucked from the fire? We see indeed he is the one who declares us not guilty now. So what can Satan say? He is the advocate for the souls of his people, and he declares, what is it that Satan has, or rather, what is it that Satan has no answer for? What do you suppose that Satan has absolutely no answer for that the Lord says here? This is mine. This is my chosen one. This one is mine. Plucked from the fire. It's a brand, a branch. And we've been joined to the vine now. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And indeed, we can never be destroyed now. And the devil has no power over us now because we are in the vine. As objects of God's grace and mercy, the Lord Jesus, our advocate, stands and pleads our cause continually. Is there a thought that tempts you to believe that it is not well with your soul? Is there someone who says, well, look how you failed there. It cannot be right with God now. The Lord Jesus is not far. He's not far. He comes and he speaks peace to your soul. And he tells you all is well. All is well with your soul. As Romans 8 tells us, who shall lay anything? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God's word says this. God's word says this to us, ourselves. God's word says this to the world around. God's word says this to the accuser, Satan himself. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And indeed, it is God who condemns. It is God who condemns. I'm so glad when I first came to understand the meaning of these words. For we read next, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What does that mean? It is rather Christ. It is Christ that we read of earlier on in Romans 8. He condemned sin in his own body. He condemned our sin in his own body. It's condemned. It's been condemned already. What wonderful words. And so now he doesn't condemn us. He intercedes for us always. He stands for us, speaks for us. Because indeed he speaks for us that we are in him. We are brands plucked from the burning. And we are in his hand. And none shall pluck us from his hand. And so whenever the accuser comes your way, however he comes, fleeing to Jesus, fleeing to the Son of God, he who pleads for you before the justice of God says, you leave this one. You leave this one, for this is mine. And so you who the Saviour has plucked as one from the very jaws of hell, he will not let you, he will not let you go. He will not let you be overcome by any of your enemies on this earth, not least the enemy and accuser of your soul. And indeed, he stands close by to indeed declare to you that it is well with your soul. Amen.